short an attorney, so we can't talk to anybody else except each other. So I want to welcome you. Daniel is one of the top young attorneys in the area, and he's focusing a lot on the personal injury area. Took a review yesterday on a medical malpractice, and he and I have been working closely to continue his climb in that area, and you're going to hear about him more and more in the future because he really is one of the hotshot young attorneys coming on board. I'm serious. I really mean that, and I'm really pleased to have you on board with me. Gerben and Ferlazzo, our firm has been in existence since 1991. We're having our 25th anniversary this year, folks. So, and it's 15 years anniversary on the radio. So it's a lot of anniversaries. We're excited. We're a general practice law firm. For the new listeners, located at 20 Corporate Woods Boulevard, run by the Peacots, and they do a wonderful job up there. We have underground parking when it snows tomorrow, and a lot of just beautiful flowers. It's close to Albany and in the town of Colony. And we've been continuing this practice since 1991, focusing on labor, education, employment, and real estate on the one side, and then the litigators like Daniel and I on the other side. The office, and together we produce the Gerben and Ferlazzo Law Show. So we're here for the next hour. We need you to get your questions together. If you have any questions about issues, we're going to be chatting. And the number, of course, is 476-1300, the most favorite number you have, 476-1300. The office is 462-0300 if you have a serious case and you want to chat about things. And, in fact, some of the topics, Daniel, I think today could be Trump University settlement, that was at the top of the news today. University of Albany, young former, students who are now on trial for the allegations and the events that occurred on that bus. We've had some auto accidents, obviously, in the news, which is always sad. And you just posted seven things to do when involved in a lawsuit, so we're going to go through that. But I thought we'd start off today with a little bit about hate crimes.
I think it's a timely topic, Sal.
Yeah, I was on yesterday with Paul Vandenberg and Jay Gerben. We do a Friday show for those who can't get enough of Gerben and Ferlazzo, which I'm sure there's like one person.
Hey, that's me.
That's you. But what I run into, Daniel, since the election is a lot of fear. People are honestly, and I thought it was a little paranoid at first. I thought maybe people were just so upset if you liked the Democratic side that you were just so bitter that you weren't going to have your way that people were just kind of making things up. But the more people I talk to, the more circumstances I see, I think it's real and there's some genuine fear out there.
Sal, I think it's absolutely real. And I think it's easy for us as white educated guys to not be bothered by it. But that's because it's not going to directly affect us the way it will other people, minorities, people of color, people of different faiths. If you're one of those people in America right now, you have to be scared.
Yeah, and I mean, I grew up in the inner city, so I grew up on Lower Clinton. So people see me in suit and tie and assume that I grew up with a silver spoon. And I grew up on Clinton, then I lived on Morton, and I was just inner city poor. I mean, that's what we were. And education and hard work can get you anywhere you need to be. But I mean, the color of your skin, your race, all the different issues that are involved with hate crimes, you can't change no matter how much education you have. I mean, no matter what, you have to, and New York State did a heck of a job, in Penal Law Section 485. Let me read a little bit of it, and then we have calls already. So we're going to start grabbing calls in a moment, but we want to put people's minds at ease that there are both criminal and civil implications when people do things like hate crimes to each other. But in 2000, October 8, 2000, way before now, the legislature, quote, finds and determines as follows. Criminal acts involving violence, intimidation, and destruction of property based upon bias and prejudice have become more and more prevalent in New York State in recent years. The intolerable truth is that these crimes, commonly and justly referred to as hate crimes, and I'm reading word for word, folks, victims are intentionally selected in whole or part because of their race, color, national origin, ancestry, gender, religion, religious practice, age. I'm worried about that now. discrimination or sexual orientation. Now, it doesn't include politics, which I think is, I think there should be an increase in that because, you just can't hate someone because they think differently from you politically, both ways. But the way the statute reads is hate crimes do more than threaten the safety and welfare of all citizens. They inflict on victims incalculable physical and emotional damage. And I think this is a typo. It says tear, but I think it means fear, the very fabric of free society. Crimes motivated by invidious hatred towards particular groups not only harm individual victims, but send a powerful message of intolerance and discrimination to all members of the group to which the victim belongs. We have to really, and it goes on, we have to really prevent people who think that, I mean, white supremacists and crazies like that, who think that the Trump victory signals an ability to, hey, now we have a ticket to ride. This is, you know, we now are legitimized. That's absolutely not the case, folks, both criminally and civilly.
Yeah, the very notion that minority groups in this country should receive the same protections of the law as the majority is one of the fundamental principles of our Constitution and of our society. And anytime you see very public displays of intolerance or racism, sexism, any of these things, it's incredibly disturbing. And these laws, these hate crimes, what they really do is they take ordinary crimes, and there are a number of categories of ordinary crimes that can be committed and then become a hate crime when you commit those crimes because of the person's race, gender, sexual preference, any of these so-called protected classes that we have set up in the United States. And they take that crime and they make it a much more intense and severe penalty.
Yeah, and we're going to get into some of those specifics, but I want people who, you know, are worried about this and are fearful of this to use the legal system as a resource. You know, contact your police. Contact us. You know, call me at the office at 462-0300, and I will give you a free consultation to see if we can help you get over this awful stuff. I mean, this is just, it can't be tolerated. And if the word is, you know, it's silently tolerated, it'll continue. And if the word is that it won't be tolerated and people will fight against it, it will stop. So we need to put this to a stop.
You know, there's an old saying, it comes out of Nazi Germany, but it's, I believe it comes out of the Nazi Germany situation. But, you know, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
Absolutely. It's a great saying, and it's true. And we need to, you know, I mean, Hitler, when he first came in, wasn't a monster.
He was elected also.
Yes, that's
a lot
the
of
point.
People don't know that.
No, he was, and he just, you know, he turned into Frankenstein, but he was allowed to turn into it, and people looked the other way, and you worry about around the country. I mean, North Korea and some of these places that are just repeating history over and over, but we can't allow it. And if we all fight back quickly and get that impression off the table, then everyone can go back to normalcy and just enjoy their lives.
Now is the time to very publicly stand up and say that we're not going to tolerate this, and that, you know, regardless of your politics, this is not okay.
Yeah, and that's the other point, too. I feel, you know, some people are Democrats, some people are Republican, conservative, liberal, and you know, as a, you know, person who's more conservative, the fact that I'm conservative does not mean I tolerate any of this nonsense. I mean, and that's important because it's easy for, you know, the liberals to say we don't tolerate it. They've always said that. But it's important for the conservatives and others who are now in power to, you know, put the fist down and make this a high priority, and hopefully it'll be done. But we have a priority here, too, which is answering calls. 476-1300. We have a couple of people from Colony. Let's start off with Colin from Colony. Hello there, Colin.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Colin.
I'm disgusted by what I've heard so far. I am really upset. You cannot even come up with one single incident of a hate crime against somebody since the Trump election. But we see the man being beaten by the two African-American youth yelling, "You voted Trump."
That's a hate crime.
That's a hate crime.
That's
well,
a hate crime. That's why we said,
Colin,
it should be changed.
And Colin, you're wrong. There in New York State, there have been people who put swastikas on the side of a school building saying white power. There are hundreds of incidents of people being discriminated since this election. This election has really turned an ugly, ugly part of our society and made it very public.
Yeah, no, I've not personally viewed it, but I've talked to people who I trust and admire and know, and they're not, you know, crazies. They're very intelligent people. So there's examples going on, and a lot of people are afraid to even report it because they're afraid that maybe it'd be a neighbor involved or someone who they just need to live with. So, it's out there. We don't like it at all, Colin, and you don't either. I mean, nobody likes the allegations. You can't excuse it by saying that it's anti-Trump people. There are anti-Trump people. The New York Times apologized for mistreating him during the election. It's not enough. It's just a mere apology. But it's amazing that the New York Times would do an apology. A lot of people, you know, wanted one candidate over another. That's over with. We're done. Now it's time to move on, and we need to move on with those kind of issues, and as well as phone calls.
You know,
let's grab Jack. You want to finish up here?
I just wanted to point out, NYPD said on Wednesday that the number of hate crimes in New York City has risen 31.5% since this time last year.
But I think, to be fair to both sides of the political aisle, some of these violent protests against Trump out in anywhere, Portland in particular, where they're damaging property, they have no right to damage property. They have a right to protest.
Correct.
But when they start damaging things, that's outrageous, and that's a hate crime.
Sure.
And so we just want equal application of the law. That's what lawyers do. We want to have the law be fair, and people on all political sides follow it, because you can't justify those crimes either by the fact that you're disappointed with an election. Looks like Colony Day, so let's continue with Jack from Colony, and then we'll go to John from Colony. Hello there, Jack.
Yeah, hi, good morning.
Good morning,
I'm the
Jack.
Second caller who totally, 100% disagrees with both of you.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't even medium disagree with you.
Okay.
And by the way, that 31% rise in hate crime down in New York City is a phony statistic. 31%. If it was 300%, I'd put some stock in it. But 31% means, all right, so a few here and there.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me just ask you this. You say you totally disagree with us. So are you saying that you disagree that people of color, people of different beliefs, don't have equal right to protection of the law in this country?
People are getting slaughtered, murdered in the streets in our corrupt liberal media. Our corrupt liberal media puts it on page 8 where you can hardly even see it.
Yeah, I think Chicago is a good example of that.
New York City media, by the way. The New York City media is a disgrace.
Well, I still like an answer to my question, which is, are you saying that people of color, people who are disabled, people who are not the same as others do not have the same rights to equal protection under the law? Is that what you're disagreeing with?
I don't think so.
Sal, your office is in Rensselaer County, right?
No, we're in Albany. We're at Corporate Woods and Boulevard,
Four undocumented Hispanics, cold-blooded murdered, two people in Rensselaer County recently.
No, listen, that's awful. And we're not advocating. I think people have to understand, we're not advocating or suggesting that this is, you know, like Hurricane Sandy or something, where it's just happening every day of the week. But there's unease out there, and people need to know on both sides. The immigration issues, that's a federal one, and that's going to have to be solved with, you know, doing something about sanctuary cities and all the things that the administration is going to do. But what we're saying is there are legitimate hate crime issues, and in fact, the illustration you had about the Trump guy getting beat on in Chicago is outrageous. That should be included.
That's a hate crime.
And that's not. So we're suggesting that the legislature should broaden it to include those kind of things, because that's as much hate as any other hate crime you could ever have.
Okay, now, I challenge anybody. Donald Trump never made one racist comment. Not one.
Yeah,
I challenge anybody to come up with a comment that was racist on his part. He was divisive, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But politics, okay? I welcome divisiveness the way our politicians are nowadays. Sheldon Silver going to jail.
Yeah.
Right down the line, okay? So, Cuomo never having news conferences, apparently on the second floor, hardly coming forward on major issues for us.
Yeah, no, I understand your thoughts, and a lot of those are really for Paul Vandenberg, because that's the political section. We're really trying to focus on the law, because that's what we do. We're a law firm. You know, we all have our own individual politics, but when it comes to the law, we have to follow it, and we appreciate your call. Thanks for calling, and call Paul during the week. I think it's something which we talked about yesterday with him, and I think he'd like to follow up with it as well. And we're going to continue the Gervin and Filaza Law Show with John and Colony. Hello, John. You're the third Colony person in a row.
Good morning. There's some angry people on the line.
They are, and that's okay because there's a lot of frustration against the press, and the press did screw up a lot of things. I mean, a lot of the national press were really pulling for Mrs. Clinton, and it was obvious. And then when it didn't happen, they were shocked. And there's a fair amount of sour grapes out there, but this is not sour grapes, what we're talking about. These are real things.
My question is kind of selfish. It pertains only to me.
That's okay. We like that, too. Thank God you called.
I'm selling my house, and I'm concerned about being bulletproof from my IRA. I get a substantial amount of money in my IRA. I'm going to an apartment, and I don't feel like taking on an umbrella policy or liability policy in an apartment, but... Can the people that sue me reach into my IRA, or is that bulletproof?
When you say bulletproof, almost nothing is bulletproof. There are a few things, and I don't know that it's bulletproof. You should definitely get the umbrella. The umbrella is the cheapest and the best insurance available. It's really one of the best bargains. People talk about, you know, Black Friday bargains. Go out and buy a $100 umbrella policy, and you can rest and sleep easy every night of the year. Where is your IRA? In a traditional IRA, or
yes,
it's a self?
Exactly.
Okay. You know, I'm not positive of that, but we're going to find that out. And then next week's show, we're going to talk about that. But I think it is. I don't think you can grab it. But
I read somewhere in a magazine that it varies from state to state.
Yeah, and I got to check New York. I just don't know. We do a lot of personal injury. And when we do, if you don't have sufficient insurance, and most people do settle for the insurance, believe it or not, a lot of injured victims don't want to touch anybody's personal assets. That's really how they are. I don't want to hurt that person. I just want to get compensation. But if you don't have enough insurance, if you got 25 or some, you know, really low number, which most people carry, unfortunately, and you have personal assets, you really should increase your insurance and be careful. So that's a good question. I just have not looked at it recently, Daniel.
One of the things, judgment creditors, people, and this is particularly applies to people who you might take out a credit card with or a loan or a commercial account. Those people usually can't get into your retirement accounts with a judgment, but that may not apply in a liability situation.
I'm talking about a pedestrian running in front of my car and running him over.
And you start off saying you were selling your home. Is that?
There's no relation to that.
There's no relation.
You just have more money in the bank.
In my home, I've got liability that covers me in the home and also outside the home. You know,
right.
I'm not talking about a car. Let's just suppose in a store, I'm going in a store and I slam the door inadvertently in someone's face and they break their jaw in all my home.
Yeah, that's where you want that umbrella policy. And Sal's right. I mean, I have maybe $2 million umbrella and it costs me $112 a year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cheap. I mean, it's beyond cheap.
Especially when you bundle it with your car and home.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's very, very inexpensive.
Yeah, insurance is the way to go with anybody who has any funds, and also for everybody because it protects them, protects society. Thank you. We have another caller, another mic, another person from Colony, but we're not going to be able to get to them, I don't think, before the break. What do we have, 30 seconds? Okay, folks, this is, Daniel, really a hot topic, but I'm also happy to take other topics we do want to get into, and we are, right after the break, your 7 points about what to do in an accident, because it's up on the website, www.gervinlaw.com, and I think it's going to be helpful because tomorrow with all the snow, you're going to be some more accidents, and you're going to need to know what to do. So, folks, this is the Gervin and Filaza Law Show. We'll be back after the break.
WDDJ, Rentler, Paul Vandenberg, Brent Dicker, and Michael Zabajevkinov. The Capital District Talk Station, Talk 1390. WGDJ, Rensselaer, Paul Vandenberg, Brent Dicker, and Michael Zabajevkinov, the Capital District's talk station, Talk 1300.
Pre- President-elect Trump set to meet with former governor and Trump critic Mitt Romney about a possible role in his cabinet. Talks taking place on Trump's turf in New Jersey. ABC's David Wright is there.
The transition team has come out to the secluded setting of Bedminster Township, New Jersey, home of one of 17 golf courses that Donald Trump owns around the world. And it's here in a kind of rural setting that he'll sit down with Mitt Romney. The two haven't always had nice things to say about each other. Mitt Romney was particularly critical of Trump during the campaign, and Trump fired right back and gave it as good as he got. But Trump is now considering Romney, reportedly, for Secretary of State.
President Barack Obama in Peru for an economic summit today and talking with Asian leaders about Trump's transition into office. This is the president's final foreign tour. A snowstorm sweeping across the Rockies and proving deadly in the upper plains. In Minnesota, at least three people are dead and hundreds of accidents along roadways. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
A not guilty plea for the Crossgates Mall shooting. I'm Daryl Camp in the Talk 1300 studio at the Times Union Center. 20-year-old Tasheem Mayweather entered a plea of not guilty in Gilderland Town Court yesterday for charges of reckless endangerment and criminal possession of a weapon. State Trooper Ian DiGiovanni testified as a witness who was off duty at the mall with his family that day. He identified Mayweather as firing twice outside of the Apple Store after a conversation with another man who was with a group of people. Another trooper, Timothy Ayers, says that a bullet was found under the escalator near the Apple Store. Defense attorney Lee Kendlin says that the witness testimony isn't necessarily reliable due to the chaotic atmosphere around the incident.
There have been a number of different witnesses who have described a number of different things. I think that the people, in trying to prove their case at a preliminary hearing, brought forth the least amount of evidence they could in order to show that this guy did it. But in the fullness of time, in a trial, in discovery, through our investigation, we're going to demonstrate that he didn't do it. Right now, I'm aware of at least a half dozen other witnesses.
Mayweather was already on probation at the time of the incident for an unrelated case. The Crossgates Mall case is now headed to a grand jury while he's being held without bail. Bethlehem police are investigating a fatal one-car crash that happened early this morning. That was at around 3:21 on Bender Lane near Stonewall Lane in Delmar, where a car crashed into trees. The male driver and only occupant was pronounced dead at Albany Medical Center. Speed is being considered a factor. The identity of the victim is being withheld for the time being, pending notification of family. Bender Lane between Devon Road and Oakwood Road will remain closed during the investigation. Troy Mayor Patrick Madden is issuing a message of necessity in an effort to get the City Council to approve an override of the state tax cap. City Council President Carmela Mantello, however, issued a statement saying it won't happen unless Madden accepts their cuts that result in a 9.5% tax increase. Madden says the proposal by Mantello and three other Republican council members is flawed. He also adds that preliminary review shows that it violates the city charter, violates existing grant agreements, and contradicts the state comptroller's recommendations. For sports, in the NBA, the Nets were defeated by the Thunder last night, 124-105. Hockey, the Rangers fell to the Columbus Blue Jackets 4-2. The Penguins beat the Islanders 3-2. The Adirondack Thunder defeated the Grizzlies yesterday 2-1. The Albany Devils were defeated by the Senators 6-2. College men's hockey, RPI was shut out by Ohio State 4-0. Skidmore defeated Norwich 3-2. Women's hockey, RPI lost to Mercyhurst 4-1. College basketball, Siena was defeated by Kansas 86-65. Skidmore defeated Randolph-Macon 80-60. Sage was defeated by Eastern Connecticut 87-70. And in high school football, Cambridge beat Haldane 61-6, and Summers defeated Burnt Hills Boston Lake 48-24. And now a check of weather.
Here's your Talk 1300 forecast. Sun and some increasing clouds this afternoon, warm and pleasant, highs in the low 60s. Tonight, we'll see thickening clouds, eventually some rainfall later in the evening. Could change to snow overnight, lows in the mid-30s. Little to minor snow accumulation by morning here in the capital region. Looking at a better chance of a couple of inches in the north country. Rain and snow on Sunday, a sloppy mix, could end up about an inch or so in the local capital region valleys. Blustery winds and highs only in the 40s, with a few inches of snow in the mountains. Chance of snow shower Sunday night, temperature lows in the upper 20s, again a minor accumulation. Then maybe some slick travel early Monday, highs only in the 30s, blustery wind, a mixed snow or rain shower. That's the latest forecast from Time Warner Cable News. I'm meteorologist Heather Morrison for Talk 1300.
It is 45 degrees. I'm Daryl Camp, and you're up to date where you can hear the Gervin and Fralazzo Law Hour Saturday mornings at 10 right here on Talk 1300.
Now, the most live, local talk with the Gervin and Fralazzo Law Show.
And welcome back, everyone. This is Sal Fralazzo. We've had a spirited first half hour about various issues, and even Daniel and I are fighting off the air. I mean, it's just really quite a topic, and we're going to be taking calls 476-1300. For the next half hour, we are going to chat about some topics, but I wanted Daniel to kind of summarize, you know, what is, really what we're trying to show, and really we can go on to other just, you know, individual legal topics. I don't want people, like we had the last caller, you know, concerned about, well, this only applies to me. Well, every question, by the way, folks, applies to everybody, because there's hundreds of thousands of people in the region, and when you have an issue, it's probably not that much different than a lot of other people, so we try to broaden it to give everybody perspective. But Daniel, I mean, I agree with you, and but I want you to just summarize, you know, really what we're trying to show here on the show.
You know, I think the key to what we're trying to get across to people is not blaming Trump for what these people are doing. What we're trying to get across is that if you are committing a hate crime, or if you are seeing what is going on in the political sphere as a license to commit one of these crimes, you will face penalties, and you should. Because this is the United States of America. And whether you like someone or you share the same beliefs as them, you owe them a certain amount of respect. And the law recognizes that. And that's what equal protection of the law is all about. And that's what we're talking about. And, you know, you can say that the statistics are phony, but we've seen the evidence from our own clients. Sal has seen it in little towns here in New York, which is the Democratic stronghold in this country. You're seeing this. And I understand that people have never been more divided than they are right now about politics. But this is not something we should be divided about. This is a basic, essential component of our Constitution. And it's something that all of us are entitled to.
And the other big point we talked about yesterday in the office is you don't have to have physical injury in order to have both a criminal or civil. We have intentional infliction of emotional harm, which is a civil action, which you can get money damages for, if that's the case. And then you found a bunch of statutes on menacing and things like that, where you don't have to show that you actually physically are hurt by someone. If they intimidate you or threaten or attempt to intimidate or threaten, that can be a problem. So it's broader than just, you know, somebody, you know, beating somebody up and then saying, I did it because you're X, Y, or Z. It's the uneasiness that we're trying to, put an end to, on both sides. And basically we just want the public out there to know that you have rights. If you are one of the hopefully very few people, we don't know the numbers, but if there's one person out there that feels intimidated, feels that they've been injured and it's legitimate or they've been threatened, you know, get help. Call the police. First thing, don't be afraid. Call the state attorney general if you're afraid of the local police, or the city police, contact us, and we'll try to help you overcome whatever the problem is, and or any attorneys. Get help. Just don't hide. Right. Don't brush it under the rug, because the more the less you do, the more it's going to continue. You have to stop it before it gets into a higher level.
And that's a great point about some of these statutes. You know, menacing, harassment. There's a difference between assault and battery. You don't need physical contact for an assault like you do a battery. You need the fear of imminent physical contact. But these menacing, harassment, and stalking statutes provide protections for people to seek before it becomes actually physically violent. And it's important for people to know that those crimes out there exist and to report them before it does become physical, because, you know, sometimes these things build slowly. Also, Sal, the governor has a hotline now. 1-888-392-3644, which was set up just for hate crimes.
Good.
And discrimination.
And we have a hotline, it's Gervin and Fralazzo. It's 462-0300. And if you have any personal injury issues or issues which we can handle, we're going to chat. Daniel's going to talk about the seven things to do. But we've had Mike from Colony Holding for a long time. So let's grab him on the airwaves. Is Mike still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Mike.
Good morning.
It was.
in your opening statements, did you reference Adolf Hitler to elections and?
No, we didn't. That was the statement was apparently he was elected in Germany before he became, you know, what he became. So
right.
I don't think it was anything other than that. And no one's suggesting that Donald Trump is Adolf Hitler. At least we're not here.
I'm sure you wouldn't do that.
No.
It just seemed tied in because you're talking about the elections and you mentioned Adolf Hitler.
That was unrelated. It was an incidental, anecdotal statement that he was elected. There's no comparison. I mean, people have demonized Donald Trump like he's the biggest, most evil person that ever lived. And he's a successful business person who has some very rough edges, but he was elected. He deserves to be treated with respect, and he deserves to be given a chance. Too many people are jumping on every single appointment and whining about it. And quite frankly, the Republicans do the same thing when the other side nominates their people. When you win.
Yeah, I agree, but not to the scale that it's going on now. My God, I've been sick for 8 years with Barack Obama, but I never said a word to anybody. I said, let's just move, you know, let's just get on with our lives.
Well, certain sides of the political aisle at least are used to winning every election, and this has become a big wine fest on the, you know, the New York Times and the ABC News and all the different outlets. But, you know, people have the right, and that's the beauty of America, to whine, to complain, and to call a radio show and express your opinion, and that's what makes us great. And there's always disappointment. I'm disappointed when the Knicks lose, but what do? I just move on. I mean, the Giants are doing pretty well. I mean, I enjoy sports. I express a disappointment, and that's the difference, I think, in America. If you played sports, you know how to lose. There's always somebody better than you. At some point in every sport, and in politics, it's the same way. You have to just take a loss and then just move on, and hopefully we can. Did you have another point, Mike, you want to throw out to us?
Well, the other thing I want to say, it just seems to me the scales of justice are so imbalanced in America right now, and Hillary Clinton, you don't have to look any farther than her. But my question was, and this is a serious question.
Yes.
And I hate hate. I do. I despise people that hate people because of their color, whatever, okay?
Yes.
And that's the honest to God truth. May God strike me dead.
I believe you.
It seems like it's so unbalanced. You hear about hate crimes all the time. Like these girls in New Albany over there, to me that should have been a hate crime. I've seen lesser things done that were considered hate crimes.
And there could be, and they are being prosecuted. And, I mean, oddly, they could have taken a plea, chose not to. And I was surprised at the protesters there because I'm not really sure, or at least the audience, I'm not really sure what the protest is about. But they're supporters, and, you know, these are still kids. And that's the one thing about these two girls, which you have to understand. I mean, I don't know, they're 20, 21. That doesn't excuse it. But you look at athletics, and people do crazy things when they're youthful, and they got carried away, and they hurt other people. And it is in the nature of a hate crime. But they paid the penalty. They got expelled, and now they're in the middle of a criminal trial. So the system is working. If you make a false statement, which is really sad, because those kind of false statements then make legitimate statements by other people who are subject to discrimination less believable. So you can't have that cry wolf thing. You really need to be legitimate, which is why they're prosecuting. And that sends a signal, I think, Mike, to the people around the country that just don't, you know, don't threaten that this happened when it didn't, because there's always cameras out there to get you.
I'm just curious if the shoe was on the other foot, would somebody else be able to plea bargain?
Probably. And again, people giving David Soares grief. There's, I guess, the people who were supportive of the two young girls. What can David Soares do? He follows the law, and he has. I know I've been on Paul Vandenberg, and, you know, we've chatted about, you know, David, and I think David's done a nice job. I really do. I had a personal experience where there was a crime involving a family member. His office was fabulous, absolutely. Right from the prosecutor right down to, you know, the assistants, right down to victim compensation, they were fabulous. I just think David does a nice job, and it's easy to criticize people. It's harder to appreciate and thank them. And, you know, from my perspective, I think we're lucky to have David. So
I agree. I just, the thing that bothers me is everybody refers to everybody as children. And We have people over in the Middle East that are gunnery sergeants at their age that are leading platoons into combat and knocking doors down.
We have a new executive producer here that I thought was in fifth grade. And, you know, we got to take care of these kids. I asked him what school he was. I thought he was going to say, oh, I'm in, like, preschool. And all of a sudden he's, like, running the board. So we have to let the young generation take over because they are taking over, and we have to be a little nicer to them because they're going to be, you know, taking care of us someday.
You know, that's an interesting point. There are actually studies about people who serve in combat and in the military, and that they mature a lot faster because they've been handed real consequences from operating a firearm to being responsible for the lives of those around you. Those kind of consequences build real character, and those people tend to be a little bit more mature, I think, as a result of that. You get a lot of kids today who never have any real responsibility until they get out of college, and then they really don't know how to handle it.
Well, I got to say, Michael, thank you for that call. That was a great call. You raised, you know, I think the appropriate point, which is, you know, there may be some, you know, sour grapes and whining, but we all are against hate. How can you not hate hate? I mean, it's just the way it is. So,
and it goes both ways. You know, everybody's entitled to equal protection.
Well, before we take a few more calls, and again, it's 476-1300. We're going to jump into calls, but Daniel, you did put up that,
That
article up on the website, and also it'll be appearing, I think, in one of the, local publications, Our Town Colony, which is, run by a fine young man named Tony Gatti. And so we're going to have that in that I believe it's in that publication. It better be now that we're talking about it. But why don't you talk about, well, you know, what happens? Because, again, I don't want to be totally distracted. We are a personal injury law firm. We do work on the plaintiff side. We do Med-Mal. We help people who are injured. And it's very similar to hate crimes. I mean, they've had, you know, significant interruptions in their life and their work ability and their just emotional state, they and their families, and we try to help them recover reasonable compensation, reasonable being with a capital R, not a small R. And and why don't you talk about what this new article says.
Sure. Yeah, you know, I think the most rewarding part of my practice is helping our personal injury clients. You know, there's nothing like the disruption that comes with serious personal injury or disfigurement, the fear and anxiety that people have about their futures and how they're going to get their lives back on track. Helping people through that really is something that I feel very rewarded by. I know you do, Sal.
I
know
do.
The firm, you know, has collected millions and millions of dollars for people in these types of situations. And, you know, money doesn't replace, you know, your life or time lost with loved ones. It does help in the future. It does help provide some economic security, help you to deal with lost wages, help you to deal if you have a disability with, you know, retooling your house and your life in order to accommodate that disability. So these are things that, you know, I'm very proud of helping people with. And what we did, Sal, is we put together a little infographic, it's called, on the website, and you can find that at www.gervinlaw.com. And you can go to our personal injury section or even our firm news. You'll see a little blog article about this. And auto accidents really are pretty prevalent in our society. One of the statistics that I pulled is that 37,000 people die every year in the United States alone.
Wow.
In auto accidents. And it's a second, you know, life turns on a dime. People say that, and it's true, you know, some of these people are at fault for their own deaths, but a lot of people and the people that we tend to help are those that are not. You know, they're driving along, they're minding the rules of the road, and the next thing they know, their lives have been shattered. Anyway, we put together this infographic to talk about what you should do in the unlikely and unfortunate event that you're in an accident. And we have 7 steps here. The first is to assess the situation. It's easy to say this while I'm sitting here in the comfort of the studio, but you want to try to collect yourself first before you get out of the car, before you do anything. Take some basic safety precautions as well, because you're not out of danger just because the accident is over. Put your flashers on. If you can, if the vehicle is mobile, move it out of the road so that you're not in the road. Make sure to look both ways before you get out of the car. It's a tendency when you're in shock to want to jump out, but remember you're still in the middle of the road. And the next thing you want to do is assess the injuries, because even if you're not severely injured, somebody in your car might be. Make sure you take a look at that. If necessary, call an ambulance. You don't want to ever apologize in an accident. That's something that can be used against you, and it's just not a good idea. First of all, even if you think you're at fault, you may actually not be. So, you know, reserve that. call the police, obviously. And also remember that you're going to ultimately need a police report, so you want to take down the name of the police and get their badge number. Also, note what police department it was. Was it the state police or the town of Colony police? Because there are several different police departments with overlapping jurisdiction, and you're not, you know, make sure you want to remember that so you can get access to that information. Then you're going to want to gather information. Depending on which police department shows up, they'll help you with this. They'll make sure to take down the insurance information, the name of the other driver, and all that stuff will be generated onto a report, which you can later get. But just in case, it's always good to get the person's name. The other people you want to gather information from are witnesses.
That's key.
Key.
It really is.
There are witnesses everywhere in some cases. You know, if it's an intersection, you could have a mix of pedestrians and other drivers. If another driver stops to help, get their name and number, because that can be very helpful down the road, and it's something that you're never going to be able to go back and get. So try to keep, you know, keep yourself together there and to get that information if you can. Another way to gather information is to take photographs.
Great idea.
Yeah, you want to take photos of your car. You want to take photos of the other car. You want to take photos of debris that are in the roadway, the conditions of the roadway.
Skid marks, if you can.
Yep, all that stuff that will dissipate shortly after the accident, but be extremely helpful to us in presenting your case. The next thing you want to do is take care of yourself. In New York State, we are in what's called a no-fault state. If you're in an auto accident, you can go to the doctor and be treated, and no-fault will cover the cost of that. What you need to do is just make sure to tell the hospital or emergency care place that you're at that you're being treated as a result of an auto accident, and they'll go about collecting payment for those services. So you really have nothing to lose by going in and getting checked out, and getting checked out early is a good idea. And the other thing about auto accidents is you are in shock, whether you recognize it or not. And it's often not until the day after, or even the day after that, that people really start to feel just how badly they've been injured.
Yeah, that's a great point. I was thinking of it myself, and you came up with it. In all the 30 years of experience I've had, most people, they have the adrenaline, and they just don't necessarily feel. They feel maybe their ankle or one part of their body, and there's multiple parts. And a lot of people refuse to get the ambulance or to go to the hospital, and I'll be okay. And many times they're not okay.
Right.
So, but it doesn't help you when you eventually bring a personal injury action, because the insurance companies, the people who defend this, are going to say, well, you weren't hurt enough to even see a doctor. You didn't wait until later. Were you injured in between the two events? And then also it's best to get medical treatment as soon as possible, because we see a lot of issues come up which delay treatment. Whether it's malpractice or just you individually refusing to get treatment, really hurts you, and it hurts your recovery.
Yeah.
So listen to Daniel, folks. If you're and seriously, if you're injured and you don't think you are, go get checked out, because the worst they can say is you're fine, and the best they can do is maybe correct that. We've had injuries where I remember a case in Plattsburgh we had where a person broke both ankles, but only one was found out. And then he was doing rehab work because he didn't complain to the hospital about the left ankle, just the right one, which was clearly hurt. Ended up, they were both fractured. And he was, working with and walking on a fracture, which malhealed and then had to be rebroken. I mean, just awful things that need to, if you just simply just go in and say, listen, I'm hurting all over, check everything out, just don't hurt your own treatment. But that's a great point.
Yeah, and don't be a tough guy, right? A lot of us have that. Oh, it just doesn't really hurt that bad.
Not me. I'm a wimp.
I
want ice cream.
Sal had a little cut at the office the other day.
Yeah.
And we had to call the ambulance.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
I picked a
scab. We set up a surgical suite.
I started, falling over. Oh, my God, this thing is worth $100,000. What's the last thing you do? Obviously, 5 minutes to go. Okay, we got the 5 minute warning, which.
So the other thing to remember about talking to doctors is that everything you say has a tendency to make its way into the record. So really focus on your injuries and not what happened in the accident. Tell them where you're hurting and whatnot, but you don't need to tell them all the details of the accidents and things like that. Just make sure you get in there and talk to them about, why you're hurting, not about the other driver or those things. They make their way into the medical record.
But make sure the medical record is accurate, because too
right.
often, I mean, I had a case of a local mall where someone slipped and fell, and you got to be accurate as to where you fell. I fell on ice as opposed to, I fell on snow or whatever, because that you may be in shock, but what you're saying is being written down. And once it's written down, nobody believes you. They believe the nurse. They really don't believe you. So be very careful, folks, with that.
We had one more.
Yeah, what's the biggest
essential
one?
Step in this process?
Call us, right?
That's right.
Okay.
It's to call us. And listen, this is an important thing, Sal.
Don't wait too long.
Yeah, you know,
call your attorney if you have one. If you don't have one, we're happy to review it at no fee, no legal fee. In all seriousness, folks, you need to not wait, because waiting only hurts your case. There's no benefit to waiting. There's not one single benefit to waiting. There's no lower cost. You don't get a better break on the legal fee. All you do is lose evidence and hurt your case.
And we're not gonna settle your case too soon, just because your injuries haven't fully developed. We'll counsel you to wait, but we can at least take the steps of getting all the evidence necessary, contacting the witnesses, writing all that stuff down, and make sure you don't blow by the statute of limitations. Nothing more depressing to me as an attorney when someone comes in who I could have helped if only they call sooner.
And they have to timely file your no-fault application. If you don't file that, that's also blown.
And if you're in an accident with a municipal vehicle, you may only have 90 days in which to do this. These are things that we need to help investigate.
So if you have an accident, call 462-0300 or email us on our web. We have a web page where you can just ask for inquiries. Daniel answers them every day, and that's a bigger and bigger area. Let's grab our last caller of the day. We don't want to let Bob go chatting. So, Bob, I'm sorry we kind of got carried away there, but what's your point? Welcome to the show, and what do you have for today?
Thanks a lot, gentlemen. Look, I had the work done by your law firm. I'm going to qualify you guys.
Okay.
By a great, honest, good law firm, okay?
Thank you, Bob.
And the reason I believe you got a couple calls right off the bat that people are concerned, because your opening statements almost made you seem like you were kind of far left and biased towards somebody who isn't a minority. That's the way it came across.
Well, we apologize. We didn't mean, we just tried to be down the middle, and I guess I was reading from the state legislative actions. I was reading 485 of the penal law. So that was, maybe people thought it was my personal opinion. I was reading literally word for word from the legislative findings. So that may be the confusion.
Yes, no, I know you guys have a great, honest.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Concerned law firm, so I just want to say I believe that may be the reason why you got a couple of calls. There were people thought that you might be leaning too far one way.
Okay. Well, listen, I appreciate that perception, because when you're here in the studio and I'm reading the statute, we were actually literally trying to go, and we only have a minute to go, but we were trying to be down the middle and just say we're against hate crime. And I was skeptical of it myself, quite frankly, until I've had a lot of people over the last week illustrate to me, personal situations where they're aware of. So we wanted to do that. But listen, I appreciate working with you, and thank you for the kind words. It's a great way to finish the show and to start the Thanksgiving weekend, which we want to, of course, thank everybody for listening. And thank you and all our great firm clients. And thank you, everyone. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. Any final words? Thank you, Bob, and again, thanks again. Danny, any final words?
No, it's been great to be here. It's always great to be with you, Sal, and I just appreciate having the opportunity to work with you.
Well, I've enjoyed working with you, and he'll be taking over for me sooner than later, and we're going to work. I'm going to be his mentor and take care of him. And how much time do you have left? What do we have?
About
30 seconds. So in 30 seconds or less. Listen, Thanksgiving is the time of the year where we should be not talking about hate. We should be talking about love. And we want you all to enjoy Thanksgiving, to enjoy your lives, and to enjoy listening to us every Saturday here on the Gervin and Ferlazzo Law Show. We'll see you next week. Dan, you'll be in on, I'll be near next Friday.
If you need us in the meantime, 462-0300.
Have a great day, folks.
WGDJ, Rensselaer, Paul Vandenberg, Fred Vicker, and Michael Zabajevdenos, the Capital District's talk station, Talk 1300.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President-elect